and welcome to the Surfing Podcast. My name is Dan, and I'm neither bright nor do I surf good, so I probably shouldn't have a podcast. But here we are. Today we're going to talk about, it's not an embarrassing surf rage story. I know back on episode 7 of this podcast, way back when, I had a whole episode devoted to like 3 summertime embarrassing surf rage episodes that I had, not in a fighting way, more like in a doughy white guy yelling kind of way. And I feel like I was the right in all 3 situations, in all three of those situations. But I try not to get mad about anything surfing, as you shouldn't. You should be like super zen, peaceful warrior. But I surf a really crowded place on a regular basis. That's the waves are terrible, and there's a lot of people, and they can't duck dive. So that's where we're at. Anyway, this episode's not all going to be negative, because we also are going to answer a question from Who's John. John, it's John with an H and then an underscore and then another John. And he wrote me a really nice message that I'm going to read at the top of the show right here to kind of set the table for what we're going to discuss right now today. It says, "Hey, Surfing Podcast, I recently listened to your podcast off a whim looking for motivation to go surf and I loved it. Thank you, Double Johns. And I figured I'd shoot you a question for potential discussion. Long story short, was there ever a time where you stopped surfing for a bit? How did you cope with that and how did you motivate yourself to get back into the saddle? Recently, got out of the Marines. He recently got out of the Marines. And was at Pendleton for 5 years of one tour in Iraq. Constantly surfed trestles, churches, after work, and then moved to HB. And now I do not feel like surfing anymore. It's depressing because surfing has been a staple in my life for since I was 8 years old. Lastly, nothing against HB Pier, but it feels like a completely different vibe than trestles. Looking forward to you talking the topic. Thanks, John." I wrote John back. Thank you very much. These are all valid points. I would be happy to address them on an episode of this podcast. So this will tie into what we're talking to today, because I'm going to have a surf rage story about this afternoon on the north side of the pier. And then I'll address John's thing. So yes, John, I did. I did stop surfing for a long time, a couple times in my life, and it was a super bummer. And I coped with it in different ways. When I was younger, I was born and raised on Huntington Beach, and I surfed here, and I went to, Smith and Dwyer Middle School and Huntington Beach High School. Not that I'm claiming some crazy local status. I'm just telling you, like, I grew up on the down, that side, that area of town. So I surfed when I was a kid, in middle school, fifth grade. When I started surfing in middle school, I surfed the Cliffs area, mostly Golden West, and then sometimes our moms would drive us to the river jetties. But I didn't surf the pier. I didn't start surfing the pier until I went sixth grade when I transferred to Dwyer. And I was just getting into surfing, and I really didn't surf the pier until towards the eighth grade when we started trying to go to they had the surf class, thing, getting ready to go to the HBHS Huntington Beach High School surf class taught by Mr. Andy Verdone, who's still there. He's also on the HB Surfing Walk of Fame, and he's a great guy. And now I see him later as an adult, and I'm like, God, I was such a pain in the ass kid. I'm so sorry for everything I ever did. Please, thank you for not punching me in the face. But yeah, so I surfed a lot, is what I'm saying. I surfed every day, twice a day, forever. I never was, never am not, and probably will never be good at surfing, but a lot of my friends were. My senior year, I was on the HBHS surf team as the first alternate, because we had our top 12 guys were really, really good, and I felt honored to even be the 13th best people to be picked on the team. But I probably was more closer down in the teens or 20s or even 30s. I think I made alternate because I had a car where you could give other competitors rides to contests, to the South Bay or Salt Creek, wherever we had contest. But either way, I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed my time at Huntington High School surfing. I hated high school, but I liked the surfing part of that. And then when I got older, I lived in San Diego for a year, first year of college, and then I moved to Hawaii for 2 years, and then I moved back to Huntington and dealt with some family and personal issues. Nothing exciting or interesting at all. I didn't shoot heroin, or a family member didn't kill themselves at the dinner table on Thanksgiving or Christmas. Just other, milder, white people problems kind of stuff. And then when I got out of college, I went and lived in Italy for 2 years. And that was the first time I really had lived somewhere and never surfed. After I graduated college, I had had an ass full of living in the United States, having grown up in a small suburban surf town. And I had lived in LA for the last year or two before I graduated. So it was exciting to, I was sort of branching out and seeing other things in the world. And that was the first time where I realized, hey, there are millions, actually billions of people on this planet that don't surf every day, that don't know about surfing, that don't care about surfing, that don't look, you know, don't read surf magazines, that don't look at Surfline 20 times a day. Like, you don't have to surf every day, you know. And it was weird. I still wanted to. I remember one time in college, my mom asked me what I was going to do with my life. And I said, all I really want to do is surf, do whatever I do for a job or for my life or whatever. I just want to be able to still surf every day. Every day of my life, I want to surf. And I was like, I know, I was probably at least 20, 21. I always said that. I was like an adult, but I was a pretty immature, stupid adult. And my mom just looked at me and was like, that's stupid. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Like something like that. Like just shut me down and told me it was terrible. And I still, you know, 20 years later, I still think about that conversation because, to be honest, I was fucking right. That was the correct thing. That's, I really liked surfing when I was younger. And even when I was, you know, made it by 20 or 21, I still knew that I loved surfing. And again, I was never good at surfing. I'm not a great surfer. I'm mediocre at best on my best day, you know, going down the line in a perfect 6-foot wave at like lower trestles. If you don't mistake me for a 45-year-old female ex-pro, that would be, if you did, that would be a compliment. You know, like if you thought that was Frida Zamba going switch foot, yeah, I would be like, oh, thank you. That's better than I've ever surfed in my life. And that's nothing against women. I pick any other surfer, but I just think that's kind of a mean thing to say. I'm not trying to bash people. I surf terrible is what I'm trying to say, but I love it. I love it so much. I think it's the same thing as like maybe if you're bad at having sex or, you know, have tiny genitals, you're still going to beat off. I mean, you're still going to love like that, you know, like sex, even if you're not good at it and you're not doing it with like models or whatever. It's that drive that people have towards sex was the drive that I had when I was younger, how much I liked and cared about and thought about surfing. I loved it. I just loved it. I loved it. I loved it. I think because my family, my home life was fine. Again, total white people problems, but my family was kind of fucked up and I wasn't really close to, you know, my parents, and they were kind of fucked up while I was in high school as well. So I think at a young age, like in my teens, that was the thing I did. There were some kids that got stoned or some kids that were good at fighting or some kids that like girls like that got a good bit of boning chicks, I guess. The thing that I got good at in life when I was, by the time I was like, you know, graduated high school, was I was good at really liking surfing, and that's about it. I also was good at pretty much being a smart ass because I was very tall and skinny and awkward, and I got picked on a lot throughout, you know, elementary school and middle school. So I had to learn very quickly in life to get a little bit witty or funny or entertaining and make people that were going to beat the shit out of me laugh before they could beat the shit out of me, and then get them on my side to beat the shit out of the other fucking monsters that were trying to kill me in life. And that in high school, I was great. More than once, I had a guy. It was like, I'm going to kick your fucking ass. And then somebody tougher than them said, no, that guy, Dan's, he's a dipshit, but he's funny. Don't touch him or I'll kill you. And I was like, fuck yeah, man. Take your fucking karate lessons and shove them up your dickhole, motherfucker. I am semi-okay at making friends with people that kind of terrify me. So eat that, bully. No, but I think the lesson there was I learned to work with people and with what, you know, and use the assets that I had, which is like, you know, humor and being, you know, somewhat entertaining to be around instead of like trying to, you know, go to school with a sword or something and right some wrongs, because I did get the shit beat out of me a lot when I first went to public school. I went to Christian school from kindergarten till like halfway through fifth grade. Then we moved to a different school district closer to downtown Huntington. And then I begged my parents. I knew that Christian school was lame. Even when I was a little kid, I was like, this is the fucking lamest shit. Holy fuck. I'm probably going to get a finger popped in my butt, which I didn't. So I don't even get to write a cool book or be in a class action lawsuit or do a one-man show about it. It was just boring and lame. So I had to go to public school. And then when I went to public school, I went like halfway through fifth grade, which, you know, the kids have already made friends, alliances. They know cool shit. I knew nothing. I was wearing like the lamest clothes in the world, like collared shirts in school to school and shit. And I got beaten unmercifully the second half of kindergarten, sixth grade and seventh, eighth grade. I learned, you know, just I started surfing. I think that's so. Yeah, my family life was fucked, and not in a bad way. My parents were shooting heroin and, you know, molesting me on, you know, on New Year's in front of their, you know, at a dog fighting pit in our backyard. It wasn't that, but it was, you know, like everyone else, white people problems. My family is fucked up. And, you know, they drank a lot, and then I didn't fit in, and surfing was the first thing, and also that I fit in with, that I liked. And it was funny because all the surfers at public school where I went were fucking mean and hated me. They weren't mean. They just fucking hated me. And I was a dorky fucking kid. I deserved. But so it wasn't like, oh, I found a family in the brotherhood of surfers. No, the surfers, all the good surfers at my middle school hated me and, you know, beat me up and spit on me and called me names and shit and made fun of me. But like, I didn't care. Once I started surfing, I liked it so much. It was worth getting bullied by dudes, you know, that would later go on to read less than 3 books in their lives. And it was fine. It was worth it. And then later, by the time I got in high school, I was friends with most of the guys that had been bullied me or been dicks to me. And the couple that I weren't friends with just fucking ignored me. So my point is, like, surfing, that's how deep I love surfing. So when I got out of college, or when I finished my last 2 years of college in LA, and I got out of college, I moved to Italy because I had seen that not everybody liked to surf, but I still love surfing. So I lived in Italy for like almost two years. After I got out of college, I was teaching English because I had an English degree. I was teaching English to like businessmen and students and taking Italian at the same time and did a couple days a week. But the thing is, if you want to learn a second language, and even if you go to Italy, you like to immerse yourself, don't hang out with Americans because you'll never learn English or English people. Because for the first 6 months I was there, I fucking dated and fucked a bunch of American and English women and English-speaking people. And I'm not like I fucked a bunch of them. I think I'd gotten out of college and I figured out like I wasn't like the best physical specimen women wanted, but I could be, and again, like with the bullies, I wanted to be entertaining, so I dated women, but I was out of college, so that was, it led to European fucking, whatever. But I wasn't like just racking up the double digits, crushing puss like a hero, you know, like some man of, you know, some godly man of yours, just doing good for myself, you know, as good as I could do. But then later on, like the second year, almost like the year into it, I started dating an Italian woman and a lady, a couple years older than me, and she's really good looking broad. And then I learned a lot more Italian real fast, because then you learn how to fucking argue in Italian and all that kind of shit, and had a pregnancy scare, so that was fucking dope. Yeah, wear condoms, guys, especially in other countries, because it's not as, I don't know, especially in heavily Catholic countries, because it was scary. No, the girl I was dating didn't want to be pregnant either. So I remember this. I had gone, I was living in Italy, and I had an apartment in Florence, and I had taken, to supplant the surfing, I had really gotten into snowboarding, and they have, like, there's a train ride 2 or 3 hours from like Florence, there's snow in like the northern part of Italy. It's not great, but you can snowboard there. And I would go snowboarding every few weeks, because, you know, I that's what I'd do, like just for a couple days on the weekend or whatever. And I had gone snowboarding, and then like I was gonna go snowboarding the next day, and then it was like Christmas week, and the girl had told me, she stopped, like, oh, I had come back from snowboarding a day early. That's what I came, come back a day early. I got back on Christmas Eve because I wanted to see her. I was like, oh, I want to see you for Christmas. And then we had, you know, did sex, and we were wearing a condom. Condom broke. That's what happened. This is a life lesson for children listening, I guess. And I was like, oh, shit. And that's like, you know, and add every cliche joke and every dumb story of her. Like, what do you do? Like, tell her to hop up and down. Tell her to stand on her head and pour like a, you know, a Diet Coke and drop a Mento in there. Or do you get a straw turkey baster and try and reverse engineer it? No, we just like, oh, fuck. So, and then that night we were kind of stressed out. And then the next morning on Christmas Day, 1 year and 1999 or whatever it was, I walked from Florence, where I used to live, San Pier Maggiore is where I used to live. And then I think I moved to a different apartment by then. But I walked like from the far end of Florence to the other furthest end of the city, Florence, Italy, to go to the only medical center. I guess it'd be like a, what do you call it here? Like an emergency care center or whatever. But like, it's in Italy, they're like not even, there's no neon sign with a plus. It's just an office. I went to the only open emergency care center place that I could find to go buy the morning after pill for my girlfriend. And it was in the snow, as well as snowing, like lightly, it was like lightly dusting snow, freezing ass fucking cold. There were no taxis or anything. And I was fucking, wasn't super, you know, had money for that. So I just walked all the way, bought the morning after pill. And it wasn't even a morning after pill. It was like, they'd give you this like birth control stuff or some other kind of birth control and just tell you, write a prescription and tell the girl to eat like six or eight of the fucking things instead of one. And that's what I did. And I went home and I walked back in the fucking snow, and she took her shit, and she was sick for a few, you know, 2 or 3 days. And I hung out with her and, I don't know, gave her soup or, you know, whatever the fuck you give people that it just did the morning after pill. And then we dated for another maybe month, maybe 2 months max. And it just kind of like, kind of petered out after that, guys, because after you do the morning after pill in Italy, you know, on Christmas, it's fucking isn't exciting with that person anymore, and she's definitely not excited about fucking you. But I did date a couple other Italian girls before I moved back to the States. And I moved back to the States because I was living in Italy. There was other expatriates, like Americans and English people and other English speakers that I knew from, like, you know, from teaching and from school and from whatever. And I saw them living in Italy, and I felt like they were running away from their problems, and they didn't want to go to their home country and grow up and do something with their lives. And I could, and I didn't want to be like the 45-year-old guy at the bar being like, oh yeah, I used to live in America, but now I'm Italian. And they're always like dating an Italian lady or trying to marry an Italian lady with money. There's always some kind of scam going on. And I just didn't want, I didn't want to do that with my life. So I moved back to America, sadly or happily. And then I started, you know, I got to surf again. Lived in Huntington for a little bit when I came back, and then I moved up to LA. When that's when I finally moved up to LA for good, in my, you know, mid-20s. And I lived in Venice at first, which is killer because I lived right on South Venice, like two blocks from the beach, because I had a friend that I had worked as an intern for at his company in college, and he had an extra bedroom that he rented me cheap because he just wanted a second roommate that wasn't a pain in the ass and it was a good drinking buddy. And I was young back then. I used to drink, you know, 80 beers a night because I was a moron. And so it's way more of a nice, way nicer of an apartment that, and close to the beach, than I could have ever afforded on my own. But the guy gave me a, you know, a good deal, and I lived there for like the first year, year and a half. I lived in LA, and it was fucking great. I surfed the breakwater. It was in the fall, winter, spring, you know, when I moved in there. So I surfed the Venice breakwater on all the place all the fucking time, and that was the thing, John times two, that I got back, how I got back into surfing. And then later on, from there, about a year, year and a half. Maybe a year and a half of being back in America, I decided I wanted to do comedy writing for a job because I had an English degree in focus on creative writing, and I'm like, I want to be a comedy. I want to write comedy. So I started interning at like a couple movie places, at film companies, and then I met my best friend Sean Crespo. We were both interning for this famous movie director and doing script coverage and all the kind of shit that you do when you're like low level, and doing PA work on music videos and whatnot for him. And then we did, you know, comedy writing together, and we wrote stuff for the web and pitch shows and packets. And then once we did that, I started doing stand up. And so that was it. That was a transition. Second transition, John, is when I started doing stand up comedy. I couldn't do everything. And I moved closer. I moved to Hollywood to be closer to like where all the shows were and where the comedy clubs were. So I was further away from surfing. So that was a point in my life where from like 25 to 35, I surfed very little. Like it used to be weird. It's sort of like, oh, I'm only surfing two or three times a week, and then once a week, and then twice a month. And then, I mean, there was a period in the first, like within the 5 years I moved to Hollywood, where I was surfing once a month if I was lucky. And then there was a period in that next part of living there, like for at least a year or two, or maybe 3 years, because time goes faster than you think, where I only surfed, like, if I surfed once every 6 months, it was fine. I would drive down to Huntington because it was just as far as driving to El Porto. I've talked about that before, like from LA in West Hollywood or Culver City where I was working. There was no good way to get to a beach within an hour before dark after work. So I would drive down to Huntington on the weekends and see my friends and stuff and run, or people that I knew from growing up. And then sometimes surf El Porto or Malibu, but I was surfing very, very little and I didn't realize it. So to rekindle the flame for that, later on, my wife moved in. She was my wife. Yep, she moved in with me up in L.A. She was from down here, in Orange County. She moved up to L.A. after college, and we were living together. And then we were going to get married after a few years of that. And that before we got married, the year we were going to get married, I had a friend invite me to go on a boat trip to the Mentawais or Mentawais. I don't know, however you want to say it, because I don't think anyone on the boat really gives a shit, including the Indonesians. But I went on a boat trip, and here's the crazy part. I went on a boat trip, and that was the back end of the 5 years when I was not surfing at all, like once every 6 weeks or once every 6 months, was kind of like, you know, skinny fat, because I was skinny, but I was probably about 15, 20 pounds heavier than I was when I was surfing and not being gross. And I freaked the fuck out because I'm like, oh my God, we're going to this place with perfect waves. And the Mentawais, I'm not going to say it different. And I'm not going to call it the fucking Ments. I would fucking stick a gun to my head and pull the trigger twice before I'd fucking say, call it that place. I'm going to the Ments, bro. Fuck you. I freaked out. So I said, yeah, to the boat trip. And then I had like a month. So I surfed the Venice breakwater when in like a shitty time of year, like in the spring or whatever, it was flat and windy and it's like kind of a stormy part of the year. I surfed there every day and I'd force myself to surf like for at least an hour, if not an hour and a half. And I would just paddle back and forth. And on days when it was flat, and it's on just a regular shitty shortboard that I was too fat for, I would force myself to paddle from like, I'd always surf like the North Jetty. I'd paddle from the North Jetty to like halfway to the pier and then paddle back, just to try and get in shape for surfing. And luckily I did, because we had the boat trip, you know, it was like 10 days. We got some good waves and I was completely out of shape and under, I was like the worst surfer on the trip. That's the worst feeling, when you're on a fucking surf trip and you're the worst surfer out of all the guys that surf pretty well. There are a couple guys on this tour on the thing that were like, you know, low level, like had been photo pros or whatever years previous. We're super, super nice guys. Everyone's nice to me. And it's where it'd be better if you're the worst guy on the trip, but you're a newbie. So they're like, oh, we'll just surf four bobs or whatever. So Dan can be a kook on whatever his wave storm. But like, no, I had surfed. I should have been able to at least surf better. And that was the thing. I always made sure to be up for anything. If they were like, oh, we're going to go surf periscopes because it's going to be bigger over there. We're going to surf somewhere gnarly. I surfed everywhere everybody else surfed. I was just like afraid I was going to die. I didn't, but it was a really fun time, and I would love to go back, but now I can't because I fucking, you know, I'm married and I have a kid, and I just, dude, there's no way I have 12 days or $5,000 I could just put into a boat trip. So if you're young and you have 12 days and can find $5,000 anywhere, go fucking do that. It's super fun. I don't give a shit if it's filled with Brazilians and whatever the fuck the Menowise are filled with now. Like it's always been crowded since it's, you know, since it was in the magazines. It's still fucking crowded, but it's fucking fun. It's worth it. It's just you're on a boat for 10 days, you'll make good friends with people and then hate the other people as well that you're on the boat with. It'll be the highest highs and the lowest lows. You'll surf perfect waves. Even if you only get it like waist or shoulder high the whole time, it's still better than any goddamn wave you're going to surf. And it's beautiful. And the people there really are very nice whenever we went to the islands and all that stuff. And even the expatriate people are fucking nice. And the boat guides were nice. It just... it's a cool thing. It's a cool life experience. I highly fucking recommend it. If you're young enough to do it, or you just got divorced and you're going to max out the credit card and, you know, and buy some silk suits and start doing cocaine and, you know, leasing a Corvette, don't do that. Just get like three nice short boards and go on a boat trip. It's super fucking dope. I promise. So I did that, John, and that kind of stoked me out. And then my wife and I got married, and then we lived in LA for about 5 more years. And then after the boat trip, for 6 months, I did surf a lot because I was stoked on surfing. And again, I got kind of moved along in comedy, where like not only was I doing stand-up comedy, but I was working as a door guy at the Comedy Store. I was running like 2 or 3 like open mics and booked shows across town a week. And I was working full time as a copywriter by then at a ad agency in Culver City. So, and then I started a web series as well. Like I was doing a lot of shit, and that's like all that shit I did was a perfect storm. And then like the last 3 or 4 years we lived in LA, I really didn't surf a lot, and I was older by then, like in my 30s, and I blorped out and got like even skinny fatter. I mean, I think when I moved to LA, I was probably like 185, and by the time that portion happened, like 10 years in LA, I was like, you know, 220, which isn't huge, and I'm not trying to like be like a size queen. Like I'm just trying to give like I was, you know, 35 pounds heavier than I was when I first moved to LA, you know, 10 years before. And I wasn't surfing a lot. When I did surf, I just surfed shitty. And the boards I had, because I wasn't getting new boards a lot, like were too small for me. And we're old because boards got shorter and, you know, the fins got better and all this shit. And, you know, I had boards that were like glass on still. That's how much of a dinosaur I was. But anyway, after like the saving grace for all this was my son was born after my wife and got married, and it took us a couple years to get pregnant. We did IVF. That's a whole gnarly story. IVF. If you know a couple or anybody that's doing IVF, be fucking nice to them, because IVF is expensive and it's stressful and it's terrifying, and it doesn't always work the first time or the second time or the third time, or doesn't work at all sometimes. So, and there's just all kinds of shit that can happen during it. And it's just like IVF is the closest, besides some tragic thing or like cheating that you'll ever get, you know, a cheating thing or something that you'll ever get to get into a divorce with your spouse, I feel like. I mean, I love my wife very much and she's the greatest person in the world, but like I really felt like IVF was gnarly. It was super a heavy thing in our life. And then luckily it eventually worked out and we had our son. And after like within 3 months of living, our son being born, we were living in West Hollywood. We live in a nice neighborhood up in Laurel Canyon. But I came home from like work one day and you know, it took an hour in traffic each way to go from like West Hollywood to Culver City, that if it's even 10 miles, I'd be surprised. And I just came home and I'm like, dude, we can't raise our kid like this. I don't want to raise my kid in the fucking, in a city. Cause all my friends that were born and raised in LA or especially in Hollywood, they're all neat, interesting people, but they're fucking weirdos. I'm like, no, fuck that. Let's give our kid a chance to grow up in a suburb, a lame, dumb suburb like we did. All of our family lives in Orange County, so we moved back down to Orange County within 6 months. We put the house in the market, found another house, bought it, and fucking, I mean, I must have, we decided to move in that summer, probably July maybe, and we moved into our new house and sold our house by January 1st of that year. So that was it. And that, my friend John, is how it was a hard time, because I was super fat and out of shape. Boards had changed. You know, they've gotten shorter and wider and just different. And just, I was out of the loop for everything. I was the worst, you know, the fattest and the worst I ever could surf. My back was fucked. When I paddled, I couldn't lay down. Like my leg, my sciatic muscle on both sides would just shooting burning pain where I couldn't even bend or straighten my leg depending on which day it was when I was in the water. It hurt to lay on a surfboard and it hurt to sit on a surfboard. Like, actually, it hurt more to sit up. And then when I'd go to lay down, that's when it would hurt. Like, I was fucked. And I had never worked out or stretched or anything, like, in the whole time I lived in L.A. So I had to start from square one. So that was the thing. Like you said, like, at least if you're in the Marine Corps, and, dude, Marines are the biggest size queens in the world. They worry about how fat they are and how much they work out and all that shit. So I'm assuming you're not, you know, morbidly obese if you just got out of the Marines. If you just gotten out of the Army or the National Guard or whatever, yeah, you're probably a fat fuck. But no, Marines are like the most – the web series I used to do was an action figure series for military guys. It was like little action figures at Cust and stuff. So we had – thousands of interactions with fans and emails and stuff, and we even did a comedy tour a couple times. So I've met a lot of military people. So I do know of what I speak as far as like Marines. Marines are just, they will ridicule each other, and if you get fat, you're like a fat, gross loser, and it's terrible. So yeah, you're probably in good shape. So you're probably younger than me, and you've also, you know, been to Iraq and stared death in the eye. So it's totally doable. But I feel the thing about not being stoked, because the problem is when I moved back down to Huntington, I was stoked on surfing. I was just super fat and out of shape and bad at it. And then the waves, it's Huntington, so the waves aren't that fucking good. Your whole point in your comment about like, oh, there's a different vibe from surfing fucking Northside, from surfing churches. Yeah, there is. Abso-fucking-lutely. Like, churches is a laid-back, kickback, you know, families and longboarders and people that are just chill and no one's really a dick. And shit, the menace of that shark coming back and biting someone in the ass is fucking terrifying. So, yeah, churches is gnarly. I mean, you said trestles, but you don't mean lower trestles, because lower trestles is like the most cutthroat lineup in the world, and you really got to hustle and be on your top shit to get waves. But yeah, I get what you're saying. Churches is mellow. Northside is fucked. It's a fucking knife fight. I highly recommend, if you live in Huntington, to go find other places. Like, for your sake of your sanity, find a couple places you like to surf as backup places. And that can be anywhere, like Magnolia, south of the pier. The River Jetties is a nice overflow. Golden West, even Bolsa sometimes can get good, you know, and fun if you have a state pass and so you can park for free. But yeah, and it's fucked. And I highly recommend go down and surf some places in Newport. I won't name them, so Newport people get all mad. But even Newport, it has a competitive vibe, and there's a lot of guys that rip down there. But it's just not as much of a fuck you, I'm going to rip your leg off and fight you vibe, or fuck you, what are you looking at, or fuck you, get out of my way vibe. And then also, if you're living in Orange County, sneak down to Salt Creek once in a while and surf. It's fun down there. The people that surf down there are chill. It's either like, you know, 45-year-old fucking surf industry guys and like all coke bloat on a brand new Merrick that will never float them, that are just happy that they, you know, the third time their dad paid for them to go to rehab took, and they married their baby mama, and they're working for, you know, some sunglass company. Or it's like pros that are trying to get photos and video. They don't give a fuck about you, and you're not gonna outsurf them. Or it's like little spoiled rich kids, and who gives a shit about those kids? You just paddle around them, and if they talk any shit, if you can't burn a, you know, a rich 16-year-old kid and make him cry, then you're not good at talking. You need to keep it to yourself, because I will tell a little fucker exactly how life is without swearing at them because they're a child. But that, John, is how you do it. So just get in shape, get some boards, get a board or two that you like, and then just put your head down and do it. But I would, the way to keep your stoke and keep it going is move around. Like, surf, don't just surf the pier. Surf the pier if that's where you want to surf and get familiar with people, so you can kind of like have face recognition when you surf, so guys aren't just burning you on the shoulder for no reason. But move around. Like, I promise, I'm one of the only guys my age, my group of friends that, like, there's two groups. There's one group that refuses to surf the pier, and there's one group that only surfs the fucking pier, and they're both stupid. You know, I'm like, oh, whatever. Because the guys will go surf shitty places but not surf the pier when it's good, and that's a mistake. And then they'll surf, you know, the pier when it's bad. There's other guys that will only surf, like, Northside. Literally will only surf Northside or only surf Southside, nowhere else, and talk shit. But no, there's two or three guys that are good surfers and cool guys and cool people that I will run into in all the little secret nooks and crannies. There's a couple spots I'll surf that are within 20 minutes of the pier that I will surf when I know when they're good at certain times. And not like good, like I'm scoring secret epic waves. I mean, like good, like it's fun and not too crazy. But I'll run into them like several times throughout the year. I'm like, oh, you motherfucker. Because I always, if I'm going to surf somewhere, you know, if I'm going to surf somewhere like north, I always say I'm going to go surf a Bolsa, like as a joke, because I never surf Bolsa. And if I go in south, I always say, oh, I'm going to go surf the River Jetties, but I'm usually not surfing the River Jetties. I'm surfing somewhere else adjacent to that. But yeah, that's the thing. But the other side of that is, like, I am now, this is hard to admit, guys, but I'm in the throes of what kind of a low level thing what happened to me when I was moving back from LA. So this is November. 1 year ago today, I opened up this small comedy theater in Huntington Beach. It's called the Amazing Comedy Theater. It's not fancy. It's just in a little shitty strip mall behind a Chevron. It's just one room. It's a black rectangular room. We have like 40, 50 seats. We put on stand-up comedy shows and improv shows, and we have classes and all this shit, and we do video nights and video game tournaments. But it's not fancy. It's a little beat-to-shit room that I painted myself, and I bought the chairs myself, and I put the rug in that is our stage myself, and I built everything myself. Our front lobby we opened as a comic book shop first, and then we switched to a full-time theater later. All the wallpaper is cut-up comic books from the 90s, mostly Marvel and DC. And we have those minifigures I was talking about, the front cases. And it's just, it's a cool little funky place. But my point is, the last 12 months have almost killed me. Because it's not, comedy's not super lucrative. Not when you think, oh, he's running a comedy club, like, oh, it's like the Improv or something where I'm running like a restaurant bar. No, we don't have alcohol or food at my club, so it's just the comedy. So we only make revenue from ticket sales and classes, and then like a couple of the things we sell, like some of the e-commerce stuff, like video game thing stuff, I sell in the front counter, in the front display counter that helps a little bit. And then we have bottled water and light snacks. We don't have any drinks or anything like that because I don't want to run a restaurant. I don't want to run a restaurant. I don't want to run a coffee shop. I don't want to run a fucking, I want to run a comedy theater. So it's been a struggle and it's up and down, but I fucking love it. It's like the way that I love surfing is the way that once I started doing stand-up, because I was scared of it. I wanted to do it for years and I was scared of it and I finally did it. I love comedy the same way that I love surfing. And in fact, I love comedians the same way that comedians I'm friends with and comedians that I work with here at the theater. I love them the same way that I love the surfers that I'm friends with and other surfers in the water. I love them. I know they're doing this awesome thing that's a secret thing that most people do, but I also think a majority of them are fucking selfish retards and I hate them. So, and I want some of them to die. No, not really, but I mean, they are frustrating. So it's a double-edged sword for me. And as a grown-up, 40 years old or above, it's like hard to take seriously. Like I'm running a make-believe place for a business. We do make-believe and talk about our balls, and that's a business and people pay to see that. Okay. And then the same thing, I'm wearing a rubber suit floating around with teenagers on after school on a Wednesday or Thursday trying to catch a ripple on the surface of the ocean and shred it for the maximum shredicity. It's fucking goofy, and I get that, The same thing with the WSL and the whole thing, surfing being a sport. Surfing is not a sport. The WSL is doing the smart thing. They're trying to transition. I mean, they're branching out and everything, like different verticals, but Kelly Slater just announced this week, and probably in the last few days ago, that they're going to do a reality show. It's basically Last Comic Standing. All these surfers, like 10 surfers, competing to like probably get a spot on the WSL tour, it looks like. But it's Last Comic Standing with surfers, and it's just like a fucking enough. I just, please, Kelly Slater, don't. The wave pool thing was cool. Make a better pool that's bigger wave or peakier or something like that. But like, we don't need a fucking reality show with surfers. I'm old. They did that shit in the around 2010. They did that thing in the early 2000s. MTV did it in the late 90s. They had a thing show called Surfer House. I'm sure you can find it. It's lackluster at best. It makes surfers look like fucking retards. Not that we're not, but it shines a light on the seedy underbelly of fucking moronism that we are as surfers, and this selfish fucking white people problem idiot people for the most part, myself included in all those circles of the Venn diagram, by the way. But they're doing that. So the WSL, I mean, they're branching out. They also, last episode I talked about, they're going to do a podcast. I think they're trying to become like the ESPN of surfing, but like, no, it's just not going to work. There's not enough smart people and there's not enough good surfers working together. And you'd need really smart people working with really good surfers. And I mean good surfers, like you need the smartest guys on tour. Like, my friends like to make fun of him, but like Ace Buchan, like he just, I wrote a children's book, and he's always doing this. He's always, Ace Buchan is going to be in the surfing public eye forever because he tied his kids into his fucking surfing and does videos with them and da-da-da-da. He's a very smart surfer, And then there's smart people that are production-wise good. It just seems like the fucking WSL, there's good people that are on the employee level or like whatever, but it seems management level above the WSL is just not. Just seems that, dude, it doesn't. Last Comic Surfing or Last Surfer Standing or whatever does not need to fucking exist. I assure thee that that is going to end poorly at best. But anyway, here's what happened, because I got to wrap this up. Today I was surfing the pier. I'm fat and blurped out. This is for John. I'm trying to get motivated. So my whole thing is I'm in terrible shape. I've gained weight. Like the running the theater for last year is like I work every day. I don't really, you know, I do other jobs like copywriting and do e-commerce and all this shit to like, you know, make actual money and be able to break even because the theater still like barely operates, you know, barely is fun, you know, barely stays above water, but it's fun. And it's like, it feels like we've been turning the corner in the last couple, you know, month or two where, you know, it'll be a viable thing. And it's a good thing. There's nothing else in Orange County like it. It's fucking awesome. So, you know, it's not like I'm doing, oh, this is my dream, so it should exist. No, it's a good thing. It's fucking cool. And when people come to it, they really fucking enjoy it. So it should goddamn exist. And it should be a business that people love, I hope. So I'm working at it. But like I said, like the last 12 months, especially the last 6 months, have been real hectic. So I have been sleeping poorly, like staying up late, waking up, you know, getting 3 to 4 hours of sleep a day, drinking a shit ton of coffee, and just eating whatever the fuck I want to do. You know, six years ago, we moved back to Huntington. I went from like 220, 225 pounds to like 190, 180, like almost 185, but like one, I think 188 is what I got down to by just eating, you know, cereal and yogurt and, you know, Greek yogurt for breakfast, and then chicken breast and broccoli for 2 meals a day every day, and went to the gym like 4 days a week, and that was it. And I dropped like at least 20-30 pounds, you know, probably close to 30 pounds, and it was gnarly. And but I did it in like 3 or 4 months, probably 4 months, because I stuck to my things. So that's the thing now. Like, I've blorped out, and I'm, like, not as the fattest I was before, but I'm definitely, you know, I was joking a few episodes ago, I'm 14 pounds overweight. Like, I'm probably closer to 220 than I am to 210. And I really ideally, and especially for the boards that I have right now, I have two really good boards from Stamps that are, like, they work best when I'm 200 pounds to like 195 is like the weight they were designed for, and I'm at least 15-20 pounds over that, and I can fucking feel it. And I also have been surfing, so, or stretching or working out, so my back is fucked. So yeah, John, I'm in the throes of how do I get stoked again, because this is the thing, is like I have work to do every fucking day for the theater, and we're doing the OC Comedy Festival this week coming up, and a bunch of shows in December. So I feel guilty, like I said earlier, like I don't have like 10 days to go on a boat trip, just like I don't have, you know, 5 hours or more to go surf lowers, you know, with the driving and the walking in and walking up and actual surfing, probably 6 or 7 hours actually. So I feel guilty every time I go surf for more, you know, an hour or 2 hours. I feel like I don't have the two, you know, 1 to 3 hours a day to surf even on the weekends, like, as I should be doing things for my business to help my family. So it's kind of fucking with me. But like earlier this week, I just bought a shit ton of chicken and broccoli, and now I'm just eating chicken and broccoli and cereal and yogurt for breakfast, and that's what I'm going to fucking do. Last night, I was up till 3:30 doing lineups and event flyers for all the shows next week. We're doing like 15 shows next in 1 week for the OC Comedy Festival. And so I broke down, and I had, what did I eat that was kind of shitty? I ate something like, I don't remember, some kind of like veggie sticks or something like 2 a.m. while I was working, but I didn't drink a soda or a beer or have any extra calories like that, so I'll give myself that. So try my best to get stoked, and I'm trying, and now I'm just forcing myself to surf every day, even just for an hour. It's not really, even when it's bad, and it's not like to surf, as I'm trying to get better at surfing, I'm just trying to kickstart my metabolism by doing something athletic, because I have not taken to going back to the gym yet, but that will be soon as well. So I surfed the last couple days, surfed yesterday at the pier. It was kind of shitty. It was fun, but it was a little too high tide. It was glassy, and by the time I got out in the afternoon, it was blown out and shitty. Today, I surfed around noon, and the wind had just started coming up. But as I was walking out to surf, 3 different groups of guys that I know go, dude, it's fucking so good right now. And it was. It was like 2 to 4 foot, little bit, like 2 and, you know, maybe 4.5 foot sets on the face, 5 foot sets almost. And it was, the crowd was kind of thinning out, and the wind was just coming up, and I surfed for like a couple hours, and the wind, it was feathering, but it was just like a couple knots, probably 2 or 3 knots below when it gets too choppy to surf. Long story short, surfing for a couple hours, at one point, there was a ton of people on the way. I've talked about this before, like the etiquette part one. There's this thing where these fuckers sit on the inside and they're in the way, and they don't even get the waves on the inside. They're just kooks. That happened to me like 3 times where I took off. There's people like in my way or in front of me, and I was getting annoyed, and I'd been out for a couple hours trying to get a wave. I caught a really good right, probably the best right I would have caught. There was a guy in the way, and I like tried to even like fade back, and he paddled in my way. Then he bailed his board. And this wave, by the way, the wave, it wasn't good because it was the biggest set. It was the best shape wave I would have got. It's probably like a three or four foot wave max. This guy bails his board on a 3 foot wave. It shoots out and hits me. And then I come up and I'm like, dude, what are you doing? And like another wave comes. It's even smaller than the first wave. He fucking bails his board again. And his board hits me again. And I'm like, dude, how fucking old are you? Learn how to fucking duck dive. And the kid looked like he's about like 19 or 20. And I'm like, dude, what the fuck? And he's like, he immediately like started talking back, like, oh, fuck you, whatever, what are you fucking mad about? And I fucking lost it. I'm like, I'm fucking mad because you fucking bailed your board in front of me, then you fucking hit me, then it fucking hit me again, and now you're giving me shit? Fuck you! And then he's like, no, fuck you. And that's, on the episode 7, on the one, the 3 embarrassing surf stories, I would never hit another person or punch another person over a wave. I probably will get punched over one sometime in the near future, but I'm fine with that. Probably deserve it for other things I did in life. But I will yell at a motherfucker. If you bail your board in front of me and then do it a second time and then don't immediately apologize, say, oh, fuck, I'm so sorry, I'm new at this, or I feel bad or whatever, because that's what the fuck I do when I do kooky shit. If you do 2 kooky things where I get hit by your surfboard, then tell me to fuck off, it's on. So I yell at him, like, go in, you fucking kook, go the fuck in. He's like, what? I'm like, you're not catching more waves that are going. And I was like getting ready to go in, but it really made me mad. And I know it's, and I'm not like some heavy local or anything, I just meant going is like, you're a danger to everyone out here, you shouldn't be surfing the most crowded spot, because I'm surfing north side, and the guy couldn't even duck dive, and he's riding like some shitty beat up shortboard. And I'm like, fuck you, go in and go. And I'm like, go surf down the beach, go surf Golden West, learn how to fucking duck dive and come back, that's it. I mean, you're not like, fuck you. And then the guy's like, oh, I don't know what you're getting mad about. And like, you know, and back and forth. And I sat there and I paddled the guy in. I wouldn't let him paddle back out. I'm, you know, because you're in the shore break and it was like low tide. I'm like, go in. Nope, you're not catching any more waves. Fuck you. I am choosing today to speak for the universe and tell you to fuck off. And you can't behave like that. It's fucked up. He's like, why? I'm like, there's all these little groms because it's after school. I'm like, you're going to fucking hit one of these kids or whatever. And I'm not like the champion of children because, yes, children are annoying too. But I'm like, fuck you. I'm done. I have had enough of this. I just fixed a ding on a board this morning from the same thing that happened to me like 2 weeks ago. Go from some fucking person, the exact archetype that you are, fucking kook that can't duck dive, that bails his board into a 3-foot wave and is old enough to know better and then doesn't know better. And he's like, I don't get what you're saying. I'm like, he's just like a fucking dog watching TV. Just fucking, you don't get it. That's what's so fucking frustrating. And anyway, he paddles back out and he's talking shit. And I'm like, you're just a fucking retard. And retard and moron and are not a nice way to go. But the other thing is I try really hard not to revert to my 15-year-old Huntington Beach self. Where I'm like, calling them, you're a faggot. Because I think faggot is a pretty shitty thing to throw around. Not the greatest word to use in general. You know, so anyway, I do that. I'm yelling at this guy. And then this other guy who was on like a fucking fish, like some blue shitty fish, who's like probably early 20s, but terrible and has been on the shoulder. In fact, he had dropped in on me earlier on the shoulder going straight, and I hit the lip behind him and then straightened out and like kicked out under the whitewash, and he didn't even know I was behind him because he's that clueless. He starts chiming in. He's like, fuck you. Why are you mad at the guy? I'm like, dude, the guy hit me twice with his board. Fuck you. I'm like, and then I'm like, you can't even surf. Then that guy paddles up, go, say one more thing. And I'm like, I'm going to say a bunch of fucking shit. Go fuck yourself and go fuck yourself. And the guy set up like he's going to fight. And I'm like, I would love to see that. Do you think that's going to do it? You know, and I, because I'm not brave. I'm not strong. I'm not a karate man. But I'm also not going to get beat up by a 21-year-old dipshit that can't fucking duck dive. So I'm like, he like sits up like he's going to fight. And he immediately backs down because I'm old. I do not look forward to a fight, but I'm not going to get bullied. And if you want to fight me, I've had my ass kicked many times and I've like won or tied maybe two or three fights in my life. Some against, you know, almost against a mannequin at Target. But you know, I'm like, fuck that shit. I'm too old for this. And I was in the right. I felt like I was in the right. Like, you fucking, I told the guy to fuck off. I didn't put hands on him. I just paddled in front of him, like paddled next to him, said go in, and wouldn't let him paddle back out. Right? Didn't punch him. And I sat there. I would have been happy with a punch. If he would have punched me, I would have wrestled him off his board and took his leash off and throw his board in. I wasn't going to beat anybody up, especially again, like a 19-year-old kid. I'm twice this kid's age. I'm not trying to karate fight anyone. I'm just trying not to get hit by a surfboard or have people do stupid shit and then be a fucking asshole. So yell back and forth. The guy's going to fight. Then the guy realizes I don't give a fuck and he decides he doesn't want to fight. And the funniest part is, at this point, like, I'm not really that mad either. And I talked to this guy earlier and I'm like, dude, I wasn't really that mad. It's like, I'm just not going to get pushed around. And if I yell at somebody like this, at least the grommets and the dipshits that hang out on the inside know that I don't surf great, but I'm also old and don't put up with shit. So fuck with someone else. And then I'm good for, like I said this before in a show, like 6, maybe 12 months. The groms on the inside leave me alone and give me a wider berth when I paddle by. And that's all I want. So I'm yelling at these fucking guys and I'm like, it's like petering out, because now it's just like, you're an idiot and fuck you and all this shit. And I'm telling the guy, like, he's like, I could, you know, I'm saying mean shit and these guys are trying to say mean shit, but they're too dumb. But then I'm like, this guy's like, I'm going to sit on you. The guy in the fish is like, I'm going to not let you get any waves. And I'm like, you can't even fucking paddle. You can't stand up. You can barely stand up and you can't fucking duck dive. And I'm like, that's when I'm like, this is absurd. I think I'm getting punked at this point. And I'm like, fuck this. And then I shit you not, like a 2.5-foot wave comes in, the 3-foot wave comes in, and I go, well, here comes a wave, you're both fucked. And I go and I duck dive it very, you know, easily, like anyone, like a 7-year-old can. These two motherfuckers are yelling at me about surf etiquette rules, go over, try and duck dive and can't, and go like like sideways duck dive it or whatever. They go over the falls on top of each other. And then they're like, because the tide is going down, it's kind of shallow. They're in like waist chest deep water, like on top of each other, trying to like unravel their boards from each other. And I just started laughing, like, oh my God, you're such fucking, like, that is exactly what I'm talking about. You're not just a danger to, you're not just a danger to others. You're a danger to your fucking, God damn it, dude. You couldn't script like that. Then I felt like I was being punked at least by God, because who would show somebody something that fucking hilarious? And then I'd given up. Then I paddled off and I was like, I just stayed out. And the guy in the fish tried to sit on me and I took a wave. Like, because I could just, even that I was on a shitty, I'm too fat right now on a shortboard that I'm way too fat for, I easily could out paddle him for waves. And not like I'm fucking Michael Phelps of paddling, but Jesus Christ. And I got a couple waves and just ignored him. And then I was chit-chatting with this guy my age who was visiting from Pismo Beach about the waves up here and stuff like that. And I told the guy, like again, like, I'm not mad. I'm not going to take shit. And if I throw a fit, then the kids out here will leave me alone. I'm not trying to fucking shoulder hop me. And the guy was laughing. He's like, yeah, I figured. And then, you know, I stayed out for another hour and 15 minutes, because there's no way. When something like that happens, even if you've been out for 2 hours or more, you got to stay out till the other guys go in. And I did. I stayed out. So the one dipshit guy went in, and I walked in on the beach, and I slowly took my leash off. And he was like down the beach, and I walked towards the beach him a little bit as I was walking up to go up, you know, up to the parking lot. And then I, you know, cut straight, went to the parking lot, and I walked very slowly up the very long beach from the shoreline to the showers. I showered very slowly. And then I walked over to my car, and I chit-chatted with that guy I had gotten out that I was talking to from Pismo. And I chatted with him for like 10 minutes. And then the guy that had gotten out the same time as me finally came through the parking lot. And then he did not say shit when he walked by us. And I didn't either, because I was having a really good conversation about surfing in Pismo and all this other shit with this guy and all the places I surf up north and, you know, places to surf down here that weren't crowded when he came to visit his parents. And it was just fucking hilarious. This guy wanted to fight in the water, and then out of the water, he didn't want to fight so much. But the trick is, like, I don't want to fight someone there. I just like was like, fuck you. I just will not take that shit. But, you know, let people know the stove is hot. Full of mediocre middle-aged surfing anger, and I will not put up with it. So, John, keep your stoke up. Don't worry about it. Surf the pier when you can, but when you can surf other places, just do. And just be respectful. If you're not the greatest surfer or paddler, stay the fuck out of people's way, you know, and don't go out there in a wave storm or a fucking brand new or old shitty board or one of those like tough light boards that doesn't get dings and just go give people dings and get in the way. Like, just learn the lay of the land wherever you are, whether you're surfing fucking Hawaii or fucking, you know, Bolsa Chica. Like, just learn what the rules are and where people surf and who's who. And, you know, and I'm like quadruple digits low down on the bottom of the fucking surfing totem pole at my own home break, but I am respectful of others, and I just ask for minimum respect from those people. But I do have a temper, not a fighting, angry, beating people up temper, but I will say some hurtful shit to you that is strangely accurate that no one's ever told you before. Which doesn't make it right, by the way. You should be the opposite of me. Be a nice fucking person. Don't be a dipshit that gets mad over waves. It's the saddest shit in the world. Speaking of the saddest shit in the world, my name is Dan. I am the host of the Surfing Podcast. If you like the show, subscribe on iTunes. Leave us a review on iTunes. Subscribe to us on Spotify. We're on Spotify and Pandora and all that. We're on all the platforms now, which is dope. If you like, if you do the internet, follow us on Instagram. Like our posts. Share them with your friends. And that's it. Send us an email through the surfingpodcast.com or on Instagram or Instagram or Facebook of shit, things and topics about surfing you'd like to hear us discuss more. And again, thanks for John for sending in that topic. That was kind of the springboard for the positive half of this episode. And then my shortcomings in the surf this afternoon were the springboard for the second less positive. God damn it. Last episode, I just told you guys calling me Mr. Positive out there, and I'm fucking negative again. God, it's a double-edged sword, guys. It's a double-edged sword. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you get good waves this week, and I'll talk to you soon.